Hey everybody, welcome to Street Fight Radio. Thank you for tuning in, if it's your first time. My name is Brett Payne, my co-host is Brian Quimby. We've been doing this for over 5 years now here on WCRS-FM in Columbus, Ohio. The best community radio that there is. You can check everything out, WCRSFM.org. There is an entire archives of our material there if you want to listen. The other way you can go about it is by going to store.streetfightradio.com, paying $5. I will send you an email with a link to 25 gigabytes of Street Fight shows, like over 300 shows you can listen to. So that's another option that you have. We do appreciate WCRS for putting up with us for this long as we continue to grow and spread our ideas of horizontally organizing leadership-less societies as we strive towards a way out of this Republican and Democrat nightmare. We need the support of independent media like community radio. So I know there's people that listen in Australia. There's people that listen from the UK, from Japan, from all kinds of places. And there's community radio where you're at. So listen to that as well, because you need to know what's going on in your area. And you got enough time, and you can move it away from the other bullshit that you're paying attention to. So give that a thought this holiday season. And welcome to Street Fight. Like I said, if this is your first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad you're here, and hope you want to join us in taking over the means of production and creating a much better world.
Yeah, is that what we're doing this week?
Right now, I am. I'm so blasted. That's why.
Yeah, Brett went to the DSA meeting this week in Columbus, so he's amped up on activism today.
I am actually. I for those of you that followed along online, there was a free meeting for the Democratic Socialists of America.
All meetings are free.
Well, no, sorry, free food.
Nobody would show up to a meeting you have to pay to go to.
I mean, we had a meeting, right, a couple weeks ago.
Where that's not a meeting. We did all the talking, and then other people sat and listened and laughed.
Okay.
A meeting is when you sit in a room and everybody gets to talk.
Dude, but if there's a paid meeting, like, I'd be kind of intrigued. Like, sure, I can throw a couple dollars down.
No.
This is some capital ideas going on in here.
You'd be alone then. I think. I mean, I guess people pay to go to conventions and shit. Yeah. I drive them around all day.
That's how the world works, right?
There's a convention in this city every single day, Brett. They're always meeting at that convention center.
Yeah, and if you got enough money to buy in, then you're a part of it.
It's like every industry has one. Not ours.
If you can pay the fees, if you can pay the taxes, the licensures, all that stuff.
I'm going to tell you this, man. We badmouth corporate America quite a bit, okay? And for good reason, because it sucks. And working conditions sucks. The division of labor sucks. All that stuff sucks. But there are this, like, small group of people that just get to travel around to every city and do a convention.
Shake hands and shit?
Yeah, I mean, they make a living wage to go to every city, and at least in Columbus, they're going to the coolest part of the city. They're like, they get to stay right in downtown, you know? And it's like, they probably go to cool parts of every city. Like, at least when they go to, like, a Boise, Idaho, they're in the coolest part of Boise, Idaho.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it's done.
Yeah. But they probably make a good wage and everything. I always talk to them, and I'm like, how often? Like, they're like, I leave every week, man.
Yeah, they eat out for dinner every single night.
Yeah, they stay at a hotel every night. Like, that sounds fine to me. That doesn't seem like you're having... And you, like, have your home that you go to on the weekend, and I suppose you probably have friends there.
Yeah, I don't know. It is... It seems way more interesting, I guess, a bougie style. Yeah,
I've just never had a traveling job. That's sure. Like the only, like, when you're poor, when you're a broke person, you never think of, like, I'm just gonna travel for fun. It's like, how can I get a job that lets me travel?
Well, yeah, if you're the kind of person that you count visiting a state if you had a layover there. Like, I've been to Atlanta, Georgia, because I sat in the airport and smoked a cigarette there with the people. So I visited Atlanta, Georgia. You know, to me, that counts.
Yeah, I've been to New York because I was at LaGuardia Airport for a half hour because I missed my flight to Texas.
Sure, that counts. You was there.
But like,
you got the air in you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I think I always wanted to be a truck driver. When I was a kid, I was like, you know what would be the tightest job? Truck driver. Because you get to see the whole world. And then like my uncle had to get a surgery and he couldn't drive his, he drove a car hauler. Okay. That's like a top notch trucking job. That is the, like, if you're going to drive a truck, that's the one that everybody looks at.
The danger zone.
Yeah. And everybody looks at it. And, you know, it's always a set piece in action movies and stuff. It's just
integral part of the game Spy Hunter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just one of the top trucks on the road. But like the ramps don't just go down on those things. Like,
not in the way they should.
It's not as easy.
It doesn't promote jumping.
No. Yeah, I mean, while it's moving, I mean, there's latches that you have to undo to make those ramps go. They don't just go down.
Right.
You know, it's just so much. You don't think about the fact that, like, when you get the truck there, you have to drive all the cars off the truck and park them somewhere and then walk back to. It's so much work. It's so much more work than I would think it would have been. Okay. And he had a surgery. He was like, hey, can you go with me and like undo the latches and shit? I'm not going to make you lift anything or carry anything. I'll buy you a pack of cigarettes and a Mountain Dew and some dinner, you know, we'll eat out. And I was like, shit, yeah, I'll do that, man. I always wanted to be in a truck. I always wanted to be a semi driver. He wouldn't have even had to pay me or buy me cigarettes or Mountain Dew or anything. Like, I would have gone in. I might have paid him a little bit of money to ride in the truck with him.
You're for unpaid internships?
I mean, I might have because yeah. I was just like a dumb kid.
Excited.
You know, yeah, exactly. Just excited to be on a semi truck.
Sure.
And I thought it was going to, I did that one time and I was like, these dudes don't get to fucking see anything. They're not traveling in the way that I see going to a place.
Yeah.
Like, most of the time, they're, like, trying to avoid the big cities, so they drive on the outer belt, so they don't have to even go into the cities. You don't even really see the city. So most of it is, like, the worst part of driving, and then you go to some car lot, and then you unload, and then you drive back home in the same night. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
It seems like every traveling job I ever had the opportunity to get were really, like, the only other one I had was going to different states and selling this spray cleaner. Like, I went.
Oh my God. This is the scammiest job. That's one of those ones where, like, we sell them for $14.95. You get to keep 60% of the profits. You know, you make $8 a bottle or something and you're just haggling with people outside of Kmart or something.
Oh, I know. My buddy was like, hey, man, I found this job. They pay for your bus fare. Like, at the time, it sounded rad, okay? So, like, just put yourself in, like, my mind of back then, where this was all very exciting. You get to go to a Greyhound station. You get to take the Greyhound to different cities. Like, and he said, like, for example, Miami, Florida.
Ooh, okay. Well, that's intriguing.
Yeah. And he was like, and then when you get there, you just have to sell these spray bottles, these bottles of spray cleaner. And I was like, fuck, man, that sounds like a dream job. But then he went and did it. Like, I almost went and applied for it. Yeah. And like, these, they would hire anybody. There was no barrier to entry to this job. It wasn't exclusive, okay? You didn't need a resume to get a job here. You just needed to be willing to ride in a Greyhound to Miami, Florida and sell some scammy spray cleaner. Probably some toxic chemical. And he went and did it for a week and he was like, don't do that. Is a nightmare.
I mean, yeah, that is a big part of our work, like the job force is like those scammy sales, marketing, ripoff jobs, boiler room type stuff. There was one that I talked about, a good buddy of mine that I worked at the warehouse with, and he quit and went elsewhere. And I went to get this job that was supposed to be selling, you're selling discounts for charity. So you're selling like coupon books, like a like a group of coupons for a local restaurant.
Those huge books. Those are entertainment, just a small.
No, yeah, one sheet of coupons.
How do you even sell that?
Like a sheet of coupons for a local business, and 5% of it went. Like, and as I went through the day, like, you know, they take me out to, like, we're going to go to Kmart to do this fundraising. Because this was a job that I signed up for because it was supposed to be, like, you know, help out, do some activist fundraising and make money.
Ooh, it was appealing to your leftist sensibilities even at that time.
At an early age, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was selling coupons. Like, so the Claremont Steakhouse in town, you would get, like, 10 coupons for like $10 off. So it's like worth basically $100. And you'd only have to pay $25 for this book of, for the, for
it's
this
not worth
deal.
$100 though.
No, I exactly.
How much is it? Like, how much were you selling it for?
$25. Like, it was paper. It was fucking paper that had an IOU on it, basically. And people paid a shitload of money for
it. Did you sell one?
I managed to get a few, yeah. And I did the job. Like, they were like, we're looking for people that want to write their own paychecks. And that means they get up early. So we want you to be here at 6 a.m. And so it was early, and we got done at like 6 p.m. It was like 12 hours of standing outside of a Kmart and trying to scam people into a coupon book by paying for a coupon. Like, those should be free. Coupons are like hand out when the business fucks up, or like when they want to bring you in. You don't pay for those.
Yeah,
you don't pay for discounts on the side of the road.
It's not gonna, it can't be better than your money.
No,
is what I think when somebody,
if you have $25 to spend at this restaurant, go there right now and spend it and get the experience and be done with it.
My wife always makes me buy this Bobcat card every year. It's like a card that school sells. It's $20.
Say 4% around town.
They give you like two. That you can get 20% off of Granddad's Pizza, which is like my favorite pizza. You know, one of them. It's a solid pizza.
Well, that's a good deal
in
then.
Columbus. Yeah, and there's like deals at other restaurants in my neighborhood. It's a decent deal, but it's still. I mean, like, it takes a lot to get $20 out of me when it comes. I mean, a very low priority, but I like this year they have my daughter selling them. I'm like, shit, I can't tell her no.
Right.
But I'm so cheap that, like,
if it
at
makes
the
sense
time,
though, man. I mean, a coupon discount on your pizza you like.
That's true. I guess, but I'm saying that, like, I wouldn't buy a cleaner from somebody on the side of the road. There's these people now in Columbus that'll just stand at a gas station. And then when you pull up, they'll walk over and, like, spray your car and wipe it off in, like, a little circle and be like, could you imagine? Like, can you imagine what your whole car would look like if we did this?
Right.
Like, this is how dirty your fucking nasty car is. Look how clean we could get it.
Yeah.
And then they try to sell you the stuff, and it's like a $20 for this cleaner for your car. I'm like, what a nightmare fucking job. Let's just give those people the money. Just give them the money and don't make them do that job.
Yeah, that job is unnecessary.
Yeah.
Let people just go to the store and get that. Like, we go to the trouble of making all these different products and people coming up with scam products.
I know.
You know, like, selling scam coupon books is just like, just shut this shit down. You guys, what do you need? What do you need? $100 a fucking week?
It is. There's, like, if you look in any classified section in a newspaper, there is probably some scam job.
Craigslist is just all scam sales jobs. I mean, like, you sit on a phone and you tell people lies for as long as they can stay open and do it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those jobs. And the thing about it is that it fuels so much of how a lot of people, what people, like, that have successful lives, people that get those suburban houses, the ticky-tacky suburban McMansion-ass $100,000 brand new house, you know?
I mean, it's usually really when I was working there. So when I got the job there, there was a guy that I worked with, or a guy that I went to high school with, that was in a death metal band that had turned Christian, and he was working there. And they were like, hey, you guys know each other? I'll send you with each other. And, like, you know, he was trying to make the best of a bad situation. They had given him a little job. But most of the people that got in there were like, none of us had future prospects.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was like, because like I said, they advertised to people with like tattoos and body piercing, or they're like, do you like heavy metal music? You should come here and apply for this job. And then you get there and you're selling, like you're doing that scam with the gas bill where you're like, hey, just sign this paper about your gas bill.
Yeah.
And we'll make some money off of you.
Lock into a contract today because the gas futures, they're going to change it on you. You know, like you need to sign over to our company.
That's a top like door to door sales job. It's what, like, cause they'll always come to your door. And the thing I like about them is that they're like hey, let me tell you something, man. We could all make a little bit of money off of Columbia Gas.
Sure. There's a different way to think about this.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like they're putting you in on like a scam against Columbia Gas. They're just playing on how much.
This is what we
really
want. This is like exactly what we want. It's for like, we're going to have like an alternative economy that they don't got to know about. It's cheaper too and more readily available.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, all it does, listen, you know, you'll lock in this rate, which is all going to be a ripoff. I just know it's going to be like, it's just that like when you send somebody to my door and they're like, hey, get in on this scam with me. That's always the vibe, man. And yeah, they're always like, lock in this rate. And then, you know, we'll start using a different gas supplier. It doesn't matter which gas supplier you use. It all goes through Columbia Gas. Well, you know, we're all benefiting except for Columbia Gas, that company that you hate.
That you're currently with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean. Yeah,
but so that sales job, though, selling coupons outside of Kmart. Yeah. It would be the same thing, like spa, like. You're going to go to the spa, right? This is 4 coupons for $20 off every spa visit. That's an $80 value. We're only going to charge you $30 for that, Brian.
Has anybody ever been to the spa 4 times in the history of the planet?
I don't know. No. That's LA shit.
It's not. I don't. There's nobody going. I guess like, yeah, LA, like Beverly Hills. They go to the spa maybe 4 times in a month.
Shit.
I've never been in a. I don't even know where I would go to get in a spa.
So,
like, I know where hot tubs are if you're calling them. Like, I used to have like a nice little plastic hot tub in my backyard growing up.
Right.
But, like, no, I 4 times. What else is on there?
The thing about it, I think, at the end of the day, is there was like 2 or 3 of us on location and we calculated how much had been sold and everything. And in 12 hours of work, we had made like 90 some dollars a person.
Yeah.
The guy that I knew from the warehouse that I talked to, he was like, yeah, I mean, you know, you got to put a lot of effort in, but you really pays, man. If you put in more time, you get it. And he was working like basically when I figured it out, like 7 days a week and was getting paid like $400 or something. It was insane how much it worked out to but just what people have to put up with to make things work. It's like, I don't know. This makes sense to me. Somehow I can make this money work right now.
Yeah. And like, I mean, also if you don't have money, the thing about it is if you're not making any money and you don't have any money, I mean, your free time is pretty much spent worrying about money.
True,
or
that's
trying
true.
To find some more money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're like, fuck, I wish we could just make money somehow. Just like really make it out of something. If I could take something and make it into money.
Yeah. Exactly. So like I know that there were times where I worked a lot of overtime. Okay. There were times where we were really broke. And see, when I worked at the call center, we were poor. And I was making like $9.50 an hour, but my wife was also making like roughly the same thing. And they would on Saturdays, they'd be like, you can work as many hours as you want. And there was a time where I was working 16 hours on Saturday and Sunday to like get overtime pay. And like it was just because like, what's the alternative, really? Go home and try to scrounge up money to buy a pack of cigarettes?
Yeah, just go and be like garbage at the house. Like be afraid to leave because it's going to cost money. Eat some fucking gross frozen or boxed food.
Yeah, or order. Like, I would order. I'm so irresponsible. It's like, can we get a pizza for less than $10?
Yeah. Well, I'll spend some gas money. I'll drive across town to get that deal if we have to.
Yeah, we'll go put $2 in the car, and then we'll buy a pack of cigarettes. And then we'll figure it out after work tomorrow. Like, that's not rewarding.
It's not workable.
At least, and, like, I think the problem with that guy's premise that I would have is that, like, any job in the world, if you work more hours, you get more money. You can make it work. You know,
yeah,
like,
he
could have gone to McDonald's. It was real. It is one of those things where, like, man, you could make the same amount of money working at Burger King, but we've devalued those jobs so much. Any kind of service job that, like, if he went and worked at Burger King, people would make fun of him. You know what? Or he would feel bad about himself.
I tell you what now, what I see more than anything is people that are just thankful to get hours. Like, I know the real deal folks out there are just, like, don't matter if they get overtime pay or not. Like, holiday pay is not guaranteed by anybody. Like, your employer will pay the same amount and make you work on Christmas. No problem. There's no, like, guaranteed that's not going to happen.
That really affected you when I told you that, didn't
I know.
It? Because you really, like, you
I
were.
I thought there was something patriotic. I believe Captain America at least stood up for giving me the fucking holiday off.
Holiday pay.
You
thought
not.
That, yeah, no, you worked for companies that paid holiday pay, but
always.
That shit isn't a law, man.
No, they don't have to pay holiday pay at all.
No,
no requirements.
Yeah, and I told Brett that, and his
it
whole earth shattered. I was like, I know, I don't think they have to pay you any holiday pay.
I thought for sure that was a goddamn requirement.
I mean, a lot of people just recently got raises because the overtime rules changed. And they were like, well, if you make less than, I think it's $50,000 a year, they have to pay you overtime for your hours.
Sure.
And it's like, okay, I'm on that. I'm on that shit. But most of the companies just did the math, and it's like, well, I mean, we'll just, okay, fine. We'll give them the $50,000, but we'll take away overtime for them all. You know what I mean? It's like they used to, like,
they get their money in other ways.
Yeah, I know. I know people that used to have holiday pay if they came in on, like, Black Friday or if they came in on Christmas Eve, that lost their holiday pay. And the government's just, like, punishing, or the business is just punishing you for what the government did. And he was like, oh, you see what happens? This is what happens, God damn it, when you people get something. Then we have to take something away. Do you like this? Is this what you want?
Right.
It's very, like, that seems like the added, I mean, I'm sure they don't say it like that, but that's what they're saying. It's like, oh God, you take away holiday. Like, that's the scummiest Ebenezer Scrooge type shit you can say, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I mean, you have to at least understand that people don't want to be there on a holiday, or that it's like, it's just the decent way to be.
I mean, if you do, like, there are a lot of places that I've worked, like at the cable company, they would give you double time and a half, and people would fight to try to get their hands on some holiday working, you know?
Right.
But they're taking that away. They're just going to force you to do it. That's the way it works, man. So, yeah,
so we started out this conversation. Do you want to talk about the DSA?
Yeah, we could talk about our DSA. Could you put on your agenda, please? Could you put on your agenda to unionize people who sell scammy products door to door?
Yes, we need to get those people together.
Yeah, they're probably dealing with the most treacherous bosses of all.
Sure. Perhaps we could use them for some sort of sales tactics for, like, progressive ideas.
Oh, shit. Maybe. I mean, hey, listen, I'll bring this up at the next meeting. Maybe we do engage some scamsters, some guys that run boiler rooms, and just be like, hey, can you use your power for the DSA?
Exactly. That's what they need.
Can you use your sales energy for the DSA? Yeah, so, like, you got free spaghetti.
I did, which was nice.
That's a top-notch shit. I wanted, you know.
Garlic bread was really the top-notch shit.
Oh, they have the sourdough stuff, too,
yes,
there,
yes.
too.
And the butter with the chives in it and everything.
I would have been. I would have had
a four cheese manicotti.
I would have been eaten. Garlic bread like crazy. I would have ate 27 pieces.
Salad with the French dressing?
Oh, shit. The DSA does it. They do it.
So it was like a new members thing. And there was a lot of people there from what I understood. There was really about six. I don't know. I'm not trying to talk shit about them. I know a lot. There was a few people that listen. I'm not trying to blow up anybody's spot or anything, but it was a lot of new people from what I could tell, and I was one of them that were just talking about interested in being politically active, I guess. It was cool. I liked it. I had fun.
Yeah. I mean, when I went to that protest the day after the election, it made me feel really good, and it's something that kind of dawned on me yesterday a little bit that, like, I think, like, the world can get super ugly. You know what I mean? And, like, if you spend a lot of time on Twitter, if you listen to the news, if you pay attention at all to what's happening in the world, it feels like everything's crumbling. There's, like, a real sense of urgency. And it just, a lot of it feels really dark and scary. And when you go to these places and you're around a bunch of people and you realize, like, you're not alone in the world and all those people are still around, I mean, any crowd feels good, you know? And I think especially because the city's pretty every urban area rejected this person. And we all are the ones that live together. A lot of these Trump supporters don't live by anybody, you know? And we need to go out and reaffirm that we're with each other.
Yeah.
And doing anything, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I like that there was, number one, it was a lot of people that were against the Democrats that were just like, this isn't my ideology. I just know these people aren't for me. I realize what the way they treated Bernie, the way that stuff was handled, these aren't the people. So I was excited about that. But more than anything, like, it was like an ethereal thing. There was people that looked like my relatives there. Like, there was a guy that looked like someone that doesn't talk to me over political skirmishes. But he looked like this distant relative that absolutely hates my guts if they were wearing a fake beard. Like, it looked like them with a fake beard. But they were spouting things like, we need to demilitarize the police, and we need to shrink their numbers and make them as small a part of the community as necessary. And people were like, yeah!
That's fun. Like, a guy, like, I know a lot of people that I, like, that is a very left thing. And that is also, if you get down to it and you talk to people, like any of these type of like what they're calling the white working class, but I would say pretty much the working class. I mean, they don't have a great respect for the police. I know that, like, there's data out there that says it. That's how they answer, because they feel like they have to answer that way. And none of the parents, none of the people that I could think of, like, they're like, no. Like, I don't want to deal with the police.
Yeah.
Like, I wish they were. They just don't.
The nice thing is that, yeah, I mean, the yuppies and the yippies, like, don't have to deal with them. That's what's the privilege and convenience of it, really.
Yeah.
Part of it.
And they don't really.
But they don't want to.
Yeah. No, they wouldn't want to. And it's not. It isn't the set. They respect a view of a cop. They respect, like, like John McClane from Die Hard.
That's beat cop.
Yeah, like a beat cop that's always, like, in a life or death situation, that, like, that has to walk around the neighborhood they're scared to go to. Like, that's the guy that they see when they see a cop. And if you said, like, hey, do you think that idiot that you went to high school with that ended up being a cop should get to have a tank and a machine gun to come into people's neighborhoods and just do what he feels like he has? Like,
whatever he's told.
Yeah, do whatever he's told. Do you really think that? And they'd be like, well, no, probably. Like, that's why it's so hard to deal with. It's about messaging. And it's about saying things. It's about saying things that, like, reach people, like, to let them understand. We say fuck the police to each other, but when we talk to other people, we got to explain it to them. You know what I mean?
Definitely. But it was a good group of people. I mean, honestly, there was folks that looked, there was, you know what was cool? There was a Christian minister there, and like, we're not going to have any, like, any sort of revolution of the fucking proletariat without Christianity. Not in America.
No, people love Jesus Christ and they love God. Period.
And I'm down, like, I'm down, especially, like, I saw a guy say up, like, guy stood up and said, I'm a Christian minister, and I think the only way that you can practice what Jesus Christ believed is through leftist principles. And I was just like, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me too. Hallelujah. All of that stuff. It was really good. It was a lot of people that were wanting to be involved and were willing to use, like, all of their skills and were so totally on message. It was a lot of, I was really excited about, everyone was there. No one wanted to be patronizing to other communities or to other people. There was already had been discussions about, like, getting involved with immigrants' rights issues and with, like, black neighborhoods and Black Lives Matter. Like, all of this stuff was well thought out. It was a great group of people. Like, it was what I don't know. It's what I'm looking for. I think I'm going to keep going. I enjoyed myself, and they want to just, you know, get involved with community things, which is where I'm trying to be at right now. So I'm definitely aligned with them. And I loved, I mean, I enjoyed it. Like, everybody was cool. It was awesome to be in a room where this guy was like, stands up. He says, it doesn't matter what we do about any issue unless we confront white nationalism. And then people were like, yeah, screaming and cheering in the middle of a fucking spaghetti dinner, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was a good atmosphere. Like, people, it wasn't obnoxious, and it was just people that were just like, it's going to get fucking bad. Like, we just have to, like, all join together. Like you said, it's the atmosphere now. I didn't know I was an accelerationist, but at this point, like, I see way more promise in Donald Trump's America because people there, you know, I'm one of those people that didn't do enough during Obama because I didn't feel like there was any chance because all the kind-hearted people were too swooned by a guy that drone bombs people and then pretends like he's playing Spider-Man with a kid the next day, you know? So this is a chance where I feel like we can get away. And there was I had an issue, and I'm going to say this because there was I'm going to be mean here, and it's not to turn you off as a listener, but the people that are still in the Bernie cult, you got to fucking turn your back on it now. And I don't think you're wrong or that I know more than you. You got to stop believing in the guy. He's a goddamn Democrat and he's not going to win. And he's not the way out of this shit, man. I definitely had to say, like, I'm not interested in putting Bernie Sanders in the forefront of anything for me.
Man, God, can you believe the way this guy's talking about the new, I mean, like, here's the thing about Bernie Sanders, dude. Keep doing what you're doing, my dude.
I like when he's the stuff that he says, but he's no idol. I don't have idols. We're not working towards idolizing people, and he's definitely not one to idolize. And someone that has more than one house is not someone I idolize.
Well, I've heard the other house is very small.
Oh, okay. It's appropriate.
Yeah.
It's respect.
Hey, I mean, like, I think, you know, from my understanding, I did not go to the meeting. I was driving and trying to make money because that's all I ever do. Which, you know, whatever, I guess.
That's life.
Yeah, that is what everybody's doing.
I'm going to try to see if I can record the meetings.
Oh, don't keep it clean in there, though. You what? Know, I don't know.
No commie shit?
You're going to record them?
Well, why not?
I'm not talking.
Well, so people can see it. Like,
get
all you
me
need
recorded.
Is,
a lot of people don't want to be recorded at a socialist meeting in Donald Trump's America.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of possibility, and it's open. It's an open environment for people to join together. It did, like, I mean, there was a lot of whiteness, but there was also a lot of other people there. So, it was all good people that were ready to, like, move forward, and a lot of cool people from Twitter. There was a few people that were like, I just don't want to do retweets and likes anymore. Like, I just want something else besides that.
I need to do something. Yeah. I mean, I went to a concert last night and, like, I just realized, like, because we did a show last week too. And, like, I just keep realizing that when I'm around people, it feels really good. You know what I mean? Like, it feels a lot better to know that there are more people that aren't, like, hateful, mean people, you know? So I can see, I mean, like, I'd like to show up at one of the meetings for sure. You know, I'll go see what's doing anywhere, really. I would go to, I'll go to any kind of meeting.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay to get in, of course. But, like, yeah, I like what I'm hearing from those guys. And I like a lot of the people I've met that are from the DSA. So, like, and I don't have any reason to think they're bad, you know?
Yeah, and for me, I'm not really, I don't care about any sort of ideology.
You're
I know,
socialist now, buddy.
I don't care about ideology.
You're a socialist? No, you're a Marxist socialist.
No,
now. Now I have to be the anarchist on this show. Well, listen here, buddy. I'm a sovereign citizen. I shan't join any group.
No, I'm doing all of this voluntarily.
Did you ask them how they feel about the NAP?
I haven't gotten into all of that.
Maybe at one of the other meetings, you'll be like, hey.
If I can infiltrate, man, here's what I really want. Like I've said before, I have this idea of a group of people that look out for each other, all bear the same mark. Like an Illuminati of the left, or like like the Freemasons are all conservative pigs that fucking do racist shit, you know?
Are they really? I don't know what
I mean,
they
it's
do.
Freemasons is like a white guy biker. It's like it's where you can go drink with white guys and tell an N-word joke and feel safe. You
is
know?
That because you tried to be one?
Yeah,
right?
I mean, that's the vibe I get from
but
it.
But you turned them down, which is
they
tight.
Didn't, they didn't have black members for a really long time. I mean, black members was a controversy in Freemasonry, you know, at one point, which is one of those groups where it's there's anarchists throughout history that were screaming about all the right stuff. You know, there's people in every time period that knew what was going on. That's why I don't ever say like it was a different time period. It's like, fuck you.
Yeah, we're anarchists now, so we're like we fought. Like I have a poster of Emma Goldman in my living room that talks about like, you know, she was running around talking about birth control when like just people did not, you know. I'm like she was alive. I like to think I would have been an Emma Goldman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do shoot for that, and I don't know. It's a great group of people, and I think, you know, at the same time, there is a side of me that realizes the battlefield of politics is this nerdy ass campaigning type shit, and like the Republicans are really fucking good at the things that they do. So maybe someone could fucking go back against them if they had the time, you know. Yeah. I mean, it just can't be Democrats anymore. Those people are totally unreliable. And it's like we're in dire straits because Democrats aren't waking up. Democrats aren't enlightening themselves. They're just entrenching themselves deeper into their cult.
Right. They just voted to have Nancy Pelosi be their minority leader again.
Great.
Like, and before they said she might be the reason for what happened. And now they're like, oh, I mean, you know, hey, what are you going to do? You
double
know?
Down.
Yeah, just double down. Just do all the same stuff the next time, too. Get somebody out there that'll dab and not go to Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I just hope it to be a horizontal thing. I hope that it's just like a group of people that are all down and maybe can come together under some sort of, like, you know, agreement. The way that I mentioned churches and these weird fucking right-wing people that Costco shoppers. Or whoever the fucking Republicans, man, that always somehow get together and coalesce into these very loud voting blocks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a fuck about the ballot box as an anarchist, but I am just fine with getting my fucking hands dirty in this shit now. Like, I just want to be as much of a problem as I can be. I only get one chance, and it does seem like, you know, it is unfair that I was so lazy for so long, but Donald Trump is such a good reason to be like the biggest pain in the ass against this fucking world as possible. Be the biggest thorn in the side of all, you know.
I mean, we were less lazy than a lot of people,
sure.
I would say. I mean, we were at least doing this. You know,
we were saying all kinds of fucked up shit to politicians 5 years ago on Twitter. Like, we were anti-Obama before he even got elected for the second time.
Yeah, yeah.
And that shit's all out there doing all kinds of dirtbag shit.
Yeah, yeah, I agree, man. This guy, we didn't like him, and we were always yelling about drones. We've been yelling about drones since we've been talking into microphones.
Yeah.
So, like, I do agree. Like, I could never really feel like I was doing anything because I wasn't showing up to stuff, I guess, is the way I feel. So I'm glad you went there, and I'm glad you found some people. It's cool because you have been saying like I got to do a church thing or something.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
like,
I
I'll
really
just,
do. It's what it
I'll
is.
I'll do the Lyft thing.
I like being around. It just makes me feel so great to be around people that are unlike me or that I would ever see, like ever be around. It's like see the people at the library going and sitting next to them and eating fucking manicotti and lasagna and spaghetti and shit with them. You know, it's like talking to the CVS lady. Like I actually met someone that works at a prison, like a all women's prison, you know? So there was it's great to be around people you don't know. I think that just for me, it's something that gives me energy.
Oh yeah. I'm the same way, man. That's why I drive. That's why I do Lyft.
But the money's coming in, like if my wife didn't have to be working, I could be handling all this shit and editing video and stuff like that. Like I'm just not to the point where it's fully integrated, but like man, I'm ready to like create as the most commotion as possible through every fucking avenue I can.
Yeah, me too. I'm really
gonna be like a fucking one man band of revolt, like with the goddamn cymbal on my head and a horn under my armpit and a fucking snare drum tied around my fucking waist. Like I'm making as much goddamn clamoring noise and throwing a fit as much as possible.
I want you to turn into the guy that like city council's tired of seeing. That's
yeah,
like, that's like a great goal for you.
We have to get
then you run for mayor. I run as your lieutenant mayor.
We need to do I want to do a show on like the Capitol steps until we get like arrested and shut down or something. Still with megaphones or something.
Yeah, remember when we used to talk about, because there's a bar, I guess, in the state house here, and we were like, I wonder if we could just go there and hang out.
Yeah, well, maybe we could get some stage time.
Ruin the atmosphere there.
What was that? I don't remember that.
We used to say that I think there's a private bar that only the people that work there that are like, you know, important get to go to. And I was like, man, if we could just, of course it's not public. Of course we can't just get in
there. Yeah. They would never let people drink and be around legislature.
Yeah.
Are you the son of a bitch that did House Bill B-39? Cause I saw a fucking meme about it that had me hot.
Yeah. You gotta think like, cause when Matt and I, when Kushbaum and I went to, when we went to the Republican convention, we were standing by the MSNBC tent, and we were screaming at the anchors and stuff like that. And this guy shows up, and this guy was standing behind us, and he had a sign that was like had a blueprint of like his land, like his backyard and stuff, and nice. like I think he was pissed off about his easement. And it's just like, if you're a politician, there's always somebody that would be willing to be mad at you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real personal matter.
I like it, though. I mean, hey, what if you had, I mean, if the news is coming to your neighborhood and you have a problem with a permit for the city, it doesn't hurt to spread awareness.
I just like going out there and fighting for like 5 more feet. Like, God damn it. They read it wrong.
Yeah.
I'm up to the road.
Yeah. It's because the electric company's trying to cut down a tree in their backyard. And they're like, wait a minute. That's my goddamn tree.
Yeah, yeah.
I bought this house and that tree came with it. It's my tree.
Oh, I sell those apples. You're going to have to pay me. That's lost wages.
Good, do that though, man. That's fine with me. Like I'm on that person's side. Yeah, you're right, fighting for 5 more feet. But yeah, I mean, like if you could ever get around politicians, like I know we have a friend that gets really drunk sometimes, and we were at a party or we were at a bar one night with him, and he was drinking, and Pat T-Berry was there, and he's like I don't know what he does. I should look up what he does. I think he's a House of Representatives guy in Ohio. And our friend just kept screaming, Pat fucking T-Berry.
Yeah, that's not a fun environment.
Yeah. And like that was all he was saying, though. Right. He wasn't being threatening or anything. Right. He was just saying, Pat fucking T-Berry. And like it was such like for me it was like Pat T-Berry ended up having to leave.
yeah. This ain't fun for anymore. I was trying to have a drink here.
He's a congressman, from here, from Ohio.
He's comes from a long line of T-Berries, though, right?
He's in Worthington. He lives in Worthington. So he was at a bar, and my friend was just like, Pat fucking T-Berry.
Yeah, they don't like that.
Yeah. We
still have to get to... man, I think we have to sit down and we have to put a roadmap together for 2017. Maybe you should be part of our holiday video, actually. But we need to get to the bar of that Hound Dog Face guy, Kasich's bar.
Boehner, the orange guy that cries on TV.
We need to get to Boehner's bar.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'll bet you his bar is kind of cool. You know, he seems like a not cool.
Wild Hogs cool?
Yeah. Like, I'll bet you it's okay. Like, you can go in there. Like, there's not a lot of Wild Hogs bars, really. I guess there are. I'm not around them.
I don't know any Wild Hogs bars.
I did pick somebody up at a bar in the exurbs in Dublin, Ohio, which is just a little, it's about a half hour or 15 minutes from downtown. I picked at a place called the Hard Road Cafe, and it was on Hard Road, and it had the Hard Rock Cafe insignia and everything.
Okay, I'm back on their side then.
Yeah, there's a few of those businesses here in Columbus that, like, there used to be a place called In-N-Out Chicken and Fish, and they straight up had the In-N-Out burger.
Yeah, it was the same arrow.
Yeah, they almost got me. I'm like, I've heard a lot about these hamburgers.
Right.
Wait a minute. And then, so yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I mean, I think that's the way to go with food.
Yeah, just fucking who cares? Like, if some rube walks into the Hard Road Cafe and expects to see, like, Steven Tyler's pants, then he's going to be mistaken anyway.
These tater skins don't taste anything like the Jimi Hendrix tater skins I had in Alabama.
I've never been to the Hard Rock Cafe in my life. Have you ever been there?
Oh, Hard Rock Cafe was a part of the mall that I used to work at when I worked at the All-Star Cafe, which was like the sports version of the Hard Rock.
There was a Hard Rock there?
No, there wasn't a Hard Rock.
But you worked at the sports where like you could eat next to like Bo Jackson's pants.
Yeah, I worked at the movie star place. I worked at the Hollywood. Never mind. The Hollywood Cafe had these deep fried pizza. Deep fried lasagna.
Okay.
And we would steal whole cases of those and take them home. Okay. They were the best fucking treat ever.
That is nice.
Just lasagna rolls that you could deep fry.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. So sorry. No, it wasn't Hard Rock.
No, you've never been to a Hard Rock?
I have been to Hard Rock.
You have? I mean, you've done everything, really. If, like, once we start, anytime we talk, it's like, have you ever been to the Hard Rock Cafe? Yeah. Have you ever been to Black Friday? Yeah. I'm like, I've never done neither one of those.
Yeah, I've done all the conventional stuff. I don't say no to anything.
No. We went to this still shows our roots. When my wife and I went to Chicago, we almost ate at the Rainforest Cafe because we thought it was like a special thing, and then we found out it's like that's a rude place.
It's the most gimmicky place there is. I actually ate it there. I ate at the Rainforest Cafe as well.
I didn't. I didn't actually end up eating
there. I went there when I was like, I went to Chicago when I was 21, I think. Oof, and
that's a dumbass age.
It is. It's the worst age. It's the most not knowing anything age. And somebody wanted to go to the Rainforest Cafe, and I was just like, this is ridiculous. This is just, nothing is cool about this.
It's not.
This is not interesting. Like, it's just awful. Bad food. It's just eating inside of like a goddamn amusement park ride is all you're doing.
Yeah.
You're eating inside of like an IMAX movie.
Yeah. You didn't enjoy the experience.
No.
I mean, I don't like big places. I've said before, I went to the Cheesecake Factory one time and I was like, I'm not going to eat here. This place is too big to be a restaurant. Okay.
I've been to like the NASCAR. I went to the NASCAR cafe.
Ooh, okay. Well, there's going to be a WWE Hall of Fame cafe down in Florida, and I'm definitely going to go.
I definitely want to have D'Lo Brown's brownies or whatever.
D'Lo's brownies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, if I got that is a Hall of Fame. I've never been to a Hall of Fame in my entire life, not the rock and roll one. I can't seem to get to Cleveland and.
I have been. Look at Kurt Cobain's pants. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was weird because there is a point where you're like, it's just looking at stuff, man. It's just looking at stuff. I don't want to look at this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's just looking at stuff.
Yeah. Like, There was a time I was going to go there. I was like, hey, you know, man, we got a little bit of extra money. It was tax season. You know, we got our taxes. And I was like, hey, we got a little bit of extra money. Why don't we go up to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I'll see what's there. And it was a U2 exhibit. And I was like, nope. Let's stay home instead and spend this money on something else.
I think we'll do it. I think it'll be a Street Fight adventure. It should be.
To the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That should be our Cleveland show.
And we don't like anything about it,
though. I know. That's what I mean. It's going to be a lot to swallow.
Most of the bands I will hate. Like, I just reflexively hate them. I'd be excited to see Ramones stuff. I like the Ramones.
Yeah, but they're just as generic as The Who.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, a little bit. You can buy a Ramones shirt at Kohl's.
Yeah.
Like, that's
there's a Ramones dad. There's Ramones onesies out there.
Yeah, that's true. I just like their tunes, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, The Who aren't. I hate making fun of the bands because it's like, I don't hate all the songs, but I just don't like them. I don't. That sucks. The whole thing is just sucky, you know?
I think the problem is just they build it up to be too much. When you get to the point, you're looking at someone's soiled underpants and you're like, God damn, wow, I can't believe it. Like, that's just too far.
Seven Dust is never getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's an irritating thing to me. Like, it's like, Korn will probably get
Korn
in there, right?
Korn is definitely in.
Yes. Okay. Like, a Hall of Fame with Korn is something I can look at. They got our parents in there. They got every one of our parents' favorite bands got in there. And, like, little by little, they were like, oh, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame really isn't bullshit now.
Well, they know a thing or two about music because they like the stuff that I liked when I was 18.
They put Aerosmith in there, and that's a wonderful band.
Everybody loves Aerosmith.
Yeah. When they get Rush in there and you know, once they put Kiss in there, they will win every last holdout, you know?
Yeah, that's when they legitimize everything.
Yeah, they do. I hope they don't put Korn in there, though. Like, I hope Korn's like a Kiss. You know what I mean? It's just like, no, these guys. I mean, I guess they are Hall of Fame material, though.
Korn is in there.
Yeah, Korn's in there.
I will boycott. I mean, I'm pissed if Korn doesn't get in there. It's about to be 25 years on their shit, ain't it?
Probably. I bought that. That's 1995 was when the album came out. 2005, 2000. Shit. We get real close to Korn getting into R&R HOF.
Yes. That's what I want to see.
We'll go to that. We'll go to that concert. Like that. Yeah. Who will they get to play Korn songs? No, I'm laughing. Like,
21 Pilots.
21 Pilots is going to come up and do Ball Tongue and Blind for us.
Feeling like a freak on a leash. Feeling like I have no release.
That happen. I'm putting that in my list of goals for 2017 that you were just talking about. Korn in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we got to shoehorn him in.
Marilyn Manson. Definitely. Is he a shoe-in?
I mean, he's a huge roadmap. He's like a huge piece of...
He changed my life. I'm going to tell you. Like,
weirded everybody out.
He changed me as a person. Like, he was like when... He really was the point where I turned on, like, homophobia. Like, he was...
So?
Oh, my God, yeah. Because I was just like... It's like a demarcation line. Like, I had friends that went and saw him before he got real famous, and they were fucking hot under the collar because he pulled his dick out and put it between his legs and was like dancing up on stage. They were so fucking mad about it, and I was like, this is fucking kind of cool, man.
Yeah.
And then, like, I just, from then on, like, I was a lot more, I had become more tolerant because it was just like, well.
Yeah, I don't know. It's sexy in some way.
Yeah, somebody likes
sexy.
It.
It rocks fucking hard and it's
it pissed you
sexy.
Off. Like, I always see things as, like, anything that gets a reaction out of somebody, I'm like, I see why he did that. And then I just became a fan. He was the first person I think I was a fan of that I would have been like,
oh, I think he's gay, even though he's probably not. But, like, I was still a fan. I wasn't afraid to say I was a fan. And it was so satanic. And, like, fuck, man.
He did a good job.
Being satanic was so important to me when I was a kid. Like, I loved Satan because it freaked people out, you know?
Right, right.
Big deal for me.
Yeah, that was a good part of it.
Well,
damn, heater cut on.
The heater cut on. We done did 54 minutes. I got like just a I'll talk until Brett gets back. I don't like it when I have to talk, but what I'm going to say right now while Brett's gone turning this goddamn heat off is that we were in Podmas this week and it was cool because we've never been in Podmas before. Thank you so much. I'm getting your name right now. And I followed you. Thank you for listening. Colin Griffith on Twitter. Just thank you for listening to the show and writing about us. That's amazing. It's Colin Griffith. I mean, like, we've been in Columbus Alive, which is a local newspaper, and then this, and that's all the people. We like getting wrote about. That really makes us feel good. So thank you for doing that for us. I thanked Colin Griffith.
Yeah,
for
that was
writing
awesome
about us in Podmas.
Yeah, I was excited. He said he got it right.
Yeah, I have a passage from a New Yorker profile. You're gonna think I was gonna say Chapo, right? No, on Ivanka Trump.
Okay.
And I want to read this to you because it's gonna get you. It's gonna hit you in a part of your heart, I think.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
When Ivanka was a kid, she got frustrated because she couldn't set up a lemonade stand in Trump Tower. We had no such advantages, she writes, meaning in this case, an ordinary home on an ordinary street. Like, so they couldn't set up a lemonade stand because they lived in a tower.
Yeah, like when I was a kid, we would make up Kool-Aid and we would sit outside and sell it for 50 cents a glass.
That's
for
a privilege.
Anyone that would stop.
That's a privilege that Ivanka Trump did not have. You check that privilege, okay?
Well,
I was able to do so, too.
We had butter noodles for dinner. What did she have?
Probably that manigault that you had earlier. She and her brothers finally tried to... those creepy brothers of hers, too. Those creepy Trump boys.
Yeah. Born of slime.
Yeah, remember when that one stole... They made a big deal because he stole lemonade from the chick. Like, he went to, like, a...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, if you're making a big deal about that, let me tell you something. We're all doing that.
Yeah, everybody's taking it. The soda fountain runs free for all.
And it might as well be. They aren't paying shit to keep it running.
They always, like, everybody knows, like, the common knowledge is it costs 17 cents to fill those drinks. It should just be turned on for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're trying to get rid of it. That's the thing.
No, that doesn't work.
Yeah, we
no,
need
the soda
it.
Should run wild, should run free, because then people get sick of it.
Right, yeah. Once I got unlimited access to it, I stopped drinking. That's pretty much when I okay, I'm not going to drink 6 Mountain Dews a day anymore. I think that's probably not good.
Yeah, that's not. That's
I used to really drink 6 to 8 of them a day. Like, it's
that was my life.
I'm getting hydrated. I mean, I'm drinking something. It's got water in it. I used to always say it's got water in it. You can't make a liquid without water, my friend.
True. So true.
But
that sounds scientific as hell.
Thank you. Write that on my gravestone. She and her brothers finally tried to sell lemonade at their summer place in Connecticut, but their neighborhood was so ritzy that there was no foot traffic. As good fortune would have it, we had As good fortune would have it, we had a bodyguard that summer, she writes. They persuaded their bodyguard to buy lemonade, and then their driver, and then the maids, who dug deep for their spare change. The lesson, she says, is that the kids made the best of a bad situation.
By pressuring adults into subvert to a fucking privileged child.
Probably buying Country Time lemonade, too. They probably still... Because, I mean, that's why... I'll be honest with you. I don't buy from a lot of lemonade stands because the lemonade is subpar.
Oh, I always buy an overtip when it comes to kids selling. But I have to say that I agree with her then that we need to abolish all of this like disconnected rich lifestyle. People should be thrown into the scrum with the rest of us, right?
Yeah, she like, should have had to
you
grow.
You should have been on a block. You should have been in a regular ass house. You should only have one house, and that should be on a street where you can sell this lemonade.
Like next door to somebody like me. Right. You would have to live next door to another person like me. I think that would give... That would change her out. Like, she would feel so privileged.
Right.
To have some.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
We should give everybody that. If that's all the rich desire.
She's like our hope. Like, that. When,
she's
when
Buddha.
They try to throw.
She's the Buddha.
Well, when they try to throw us a little hope about the Trump thing and, like, maybe he'll let Ivanka run things, it's like, I don't think. I don't know, man.
Well, like, the one thing I saw about their initiative on maternity leave is that it's actually like a white nationalist priority as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Like that giving women time off benefits white women. That's why they really dig it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, as long as it benefits everybody, as long as they don't make it just for white women.
Yeah, I don't think they can go out and say that.
No, yeah, we don't want that. But, yeah, I mean, like, all their initiatives are bad. They're getting rid of the head of household thing, which is going to, a lot of Trump voters are going to be pretty hot under the collar when it comes time for tax season.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some surprises.
I saw that Joe Walsh guy that's on Twitter. He's always saying, like, you know how much Donald Trump, you know him as being like, you know, Jesus would probably be a lot like me.
Yeah. He's the one that said, what did he say? Oh, fuck. He said that Jesus would stand up against PC culture. You know, Jesus would vote for Trump, you know?
Yeah. And then he said, you know, you actually tweeted, like, yeah, he would be just a lot more like me. Well, he was a little bit disappointed in Trump today because he appointed a guy that worked for Goldman Sachs. And he's like, seriously, I thought you were going to drain the swamp.
Oh, he's just now figuring out what's going on.
Yep. I love it. I think we're going to have to just sit around and wait for them to all get disappointed. There's going to be that is, if you need a silver lining in this world is a bunch of people, you're going to get to see their bubbles just burst at different times over the next 4 years. Like, they'll have to feel the way that I felt when Obama got elected and be like,
oh, yeah, about 90 days in. You're like, fuck.
whoa.
Brian was 90 days. I was 6 months.
I know. You got mad at me because I was 90 days.
You gave up too early.
You did. You were like, well,
I got patience, my friend.
Yeah. You haven't even given him any time to do anything.
Yeah, 6 months is enough, man, and it was bullshit.
Well, some people would say, yeah. He said Goldman Sachs is – he's pissed. He's not happy.
I mean, this is the same. I don't know, like, this is the thing that sucks. And you know what? I absolutely fucking love the Chapo Trap House with Ricky Rawls about the alt-right and everything.
Yeah, I did too.
It's a really good conversation, but because for me, part of it is like, if someone is, this is what it always comes down to, if someone is like a fascist Nazi, we have to elevate what we do. I see people are kind of slipping back into, it seems like everyone just wants things to be the same and like okay and normal.
Yeah.
You know, but we have to tolerate, how do we go on tolerating these people, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Normalizing.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like everybody does want things to be regular, I think.
Yeah, I mean, people don't want to think about, people, I think the alt-right or the white nationalist stuff that's coming out is like, one of those things that like a lot of liberals are like, shit, there's Nazis out there.
Right.
You know what I mean? But their way of dealing with Hitler wasn't like, wouldn't have been like, hey, let's go kill that guy. He's bad.
Right. Stop him.
They want to vote him out or talk it, logic, like really fucking destroy.
Facts.
Yeah. And that's not how they wouldn't have been able to beat Hitler. Right. I mean, I'm not saying I have a great plan for overthrowing the government or anything like that, but geez, man, if this guy turns out to be a Hitler, we're going to have to, overthrow the goddamn government.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, that's what you got to quit doing the damn podcast and get out there with a musket.
Right.
Fucking find some other sovereign citizen friends and get in with them. You know, that's what I've been starting to think about lately. Is like, we should just do a leftist sovereign citizen movement.
Yeah, it's time.
Yeah,
I do want to get away. I think for me, I'm like, just more than anything, is if people want this, just. Can they have that without me being involved?
No, that's the crappiest thing about. That's why I like. That's why I'll never drop the anti-statist stuff. It's like, man, see, the same way I don't want to be involved in this, I might not want to be involved in something else. I'm like, I don't like this forcing people to do things. It's not cool. Yeah. I know there's got to be a social contract or whatever, but like, what some fucking idiot that's sitting on a farm in the middle of nowhere thinks shouldn't affect me at all.
And vice versa.
Right. Yeah. I don't think they should have to live like me either. I'm not trying to like, I'm not trying to say like, you need to move to the city and start eating at artisan restaurants. You son of a bitch.
You need to get into STEM classes.
Yeah. Come on, man. Code. Yeah. This Joe Walsh guy, this is his tweet. Mr. Trump, this is bullshit. Can you hire someone who doesn't work for Goldman Sachs? What about that swamp, huh?
He's the one that said, on November 9th, if Hillary wins, I'm grabbing my musket.
He was not. He don't even got a musket.
Yeah.
He probably does have some guns, though. He's the type of dude. What? I mean, let me see what he does. I honestly thought Joe Walsh was an eagle, like he was in the Eagles or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's saying, taking it easy. He's a former congressman. See, these are the type of... That's
not good.
I always say this. Like, I watched one of the first times it really dawned on me, like, it really hit me that, like, these people aren't special, like, that they're no different than me, was during... those Democratic debates from 2008, where there were like 8 people in them, and sometimes they would like pan out and you could see everybody at the same time. And I could just see for some reason, I got this sense of the people that weren't talking. I could see their wheels spinning in their head. You know what I mean? Like, I knew, I for some reason, it humanized them so much to me because I felt like, shit, they're just thinking, they're going through their memory bank just like I do and yeah. Trying to figure something out. They're probably, you know, and they're all dumb. They're all dumb as hell. It just made them, once I was able to see that they think like me, or once I was able to conceive that they think like I do.
You got to see them in that, like, unprepared light where they're just kind of like, what do I got to say next to make people not dislike me?
That's what Vic Berger does so good, so well, is he zooms in on people that aren't part of the scene. And right. When you look at those people in a closed off world, you're just like, I recognize the humanity of that person right now.
Right. They don't know what's happening. They're squirming. They're not going to cause a ruckus.
Yeah. But whatever. I mean, like, I know when I stand on stage, I know that, like, when I'm not talking, my mind is fucking flying 100 miles an hour when I'm not talking on to the next thing. But when I'm, like, sitting in an audience, you know, I can just – I pay attention, but I'm also thinking about other things. So, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. That was stupid. God. Joe Walsh, former congressman.
That's crazy.
You're a son of a bitch, is what we're going to say to you. I'm glad you're mad, though. I'm glad you're irritated. And one more person that I wanted to throw in the old grinder that just really has been irritating me is Michael Ian Black.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that guy?
Yeah, he's really stepped it up. His smugness is just on another level at this
point. I sometimes wonder if he's trying, if he's like doing a heel thing. Because I've always said I want to be a heel, you know? Like, he has to be doing a heel thing.
He's grinding. He's digging in harder.
Yeah. Yeah. But do you think he's doing it for heat? Or that, like, he's doing it because he really believes this stuff? Because I really do.
I think he's flexing what he believes. I mean, I think he just knows he's being cruel, but he kind of probably just actually believes that.
Yeah. So what I'm bringing up, what I'm talking about is he posted a tweet that said of somebody who said that there were a bunch of there have been 900 racist incidents that have happened since Trump was elected. And he said, well, I guess it's all worth it now that those 900 coal miners can get a job or something. Like, we're basically saying it was, you know, it wasn't people who make good money that voted for Donald Trump. It was poor idiot people in the middle of the country. He's just so like, these guys don't talk to fucking anybody that isn't on the exclusive lot that they're at or want to be them. You know, like even when they try, like stand-up comedians are like, I go all over the country. I'm like, fucking hang out with a bunch of people that want to be you. You know what I mean? Like you're not meeting people all over the country.
Yeah, and there's just not any sort of validity to that. I mean, there racism happens in those areas, and there's a part of it that's stupid or southern or midwestern or whatever stripe it may be, but it's not, I mean, indicative of everybody. Those people just want to work. I mean, coal mining people just want to work. They don't really give a fuck who it is, you know. That's why they'll even swing. That's why people will vote for like Obama. It's like, I don't care, man. Maybe this groovy ass black dude's gonna come in and give me a fucking job. I don't know. It's fine with me. Like, somebody wants to make things different.
Yeah,
what I'm getting, you know,
that's me too. Yeah, Trump
is that promise too. And to, I mean, to paint it, I mean, to people, don't you did it perfectly when you said that, you know, to say that people want to sign up for Hillary Clinton, who said, oh, your health insurance is already great, when these people are struggling.
Yeah, when they're saying my health insurance is terrible, they're like, oh, you just hate Obama.
One of the Trump voters I know is flying to Mexico to get health care. And you don't think they think America is already great? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was her. Yeah. And their insurance premiums actually went up like 2 weeks before the election. There was a big story that in a lot of places, premiums are going to go up 25%. And then she's running around
October saying, was open enrollment for healthcare, and they had said it went up like by double digits everywhere.
Yeah. And she's running around saying, like, if you elect this guy, he'll get rid of Obamacare. And he's like, yeah, hell yeah. If you elect me, I'm going to get rid of Obamacare. And you're like, all right, man, I need this money. Because unfortunately, the means testing has created a place where people would just rather not have insurance than have coverage, you know, than have to pay for coverage, the amount that they're having to pay.
Yeah, Michael Ian Black posted that article that with the 700 attacks and said, this poor Trump supporter just wants her coal mining job back, obviously.
Yeah, so thank you for doing that. I couldn't find the damn thing. I was looking for the guy that tweeted it earlier. I think he deactivated. But
yeah, and that's I mean, that's just someone that wants to be keep it at arm's distance. That's someone that doesn't give a fuck about any of this. You know, I think that there manufacturing is something that does make sense and that we do have to take control of or be a part of. I think that making goods here in the country is useful. And so if that's our energy as well, like I mean, I'm not going to be pissed at somebody for being interested in doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, and just ascribing racism to anybody that didn't vote for Hillary Clinton is stupid, first of all, because some of the reasons I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton were like racist things she's done in the past.
Yeah, she's super racist. She's super bad for black people.
Yeah.
And Latino people.
Well, yeah. And like, if you wonder why people didn't go out to vote for her, it's they told you before. They said she lies, she's racist, she's done all these terrible things. And then you're like, why didn't you vote for her? Now we got Donald Trump. It's like, we told you not to run her. We wasn't going to vote for her. We don't like her.
Right. And so now we have, I mean, this to react to, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, they just suck. Well, Yeah, those are all the things I wanted to hit tonight. So okay. I think we hit everything. And I mean, you know, nobody talks about work better than the Street Fight Boys.
Yeah, I know a lot about working. I haven't done honestly, it so long. I feel like I need to go dip my toe back in.
You'll love it. I'm telling you, man. It was weird because like I haven't done. I enjoy driving for Lyft. It's so I know I'm getting ripped off and I know it's bad and everything. But man, I don't know what it is about working. I feel good like being around people serving. I'm a serving kind of guy, man. I just get excited when I can do customer service.
Yeah, I really want to do the bus driver thing more than anything, but the weed problem is like bums me out.
You can never do bus driver. That is a job that's taken away from you because the world is terrible.
I know, because it cripples people like me.
Because the worst people in the fucking entire world are in charge of things.
Right.
You don't get to be a bus driver. That's not a guy that sincerely wants to be a bus driver. Can't be like his dream is to be a bus driver. He would quit comedy if he could be a bus driver. He can't be a bus driver.
I wouldn't quit comedy. I just am I just expect that I'll need something else to. I have to serve in some way, but I mean, if I get some money for it, I need weed money. That's why I'm working.
People would love you. If people would love you if you were their bus driver. I mean, you should look into like you live by a movie theater, maybe ripping tickets. That would be a fresh job.
Sure.
Man, there's just all kinds of things you can go do to dip your foot back in.
Yeah, I want the hellish world. Like, I really want to know like the hellish environments that I was in. I just feel like I don't tolerate that at right now.
No.
Like that would drive me nuts.
I don't either.
Just start screaming and yelling at somebody if I was in some of those old working environments that I was in. I would like literally throw a fucking fit.
Hey, what the hell are we doing here?
I'd lay on the floor and shit and scream. Yeah.
It's weird though how your brain like I don't know, man. It's really like I had worked at that restaurant job for a while where I was not making any money. It wasn't even worth my time, the amount of money I was making. And I was like still always like, oh, I hope I don't lose this job.
Right. Well, there's people that get lifted to their jobs like because they get moved across the city and they're like, I just have to have this job. Like I know of people that have corporate jobs that. They're like, we don't need you here anymore. So either you can not have a job anymore or get moved to this place where we found a slot for you.
Yeah, they actually did that nationwide. They had outsourced or they had rented buildings in the suburb all over the suburbs and had been having their work be done there. And then one day they were just like, I think we want to move this whole operation back downtown.
Right.
So they build a bunch of buildings. And, you know, I mean, it was a convenient. It was good for my family.
Sure.
That they did that. But, like, there were a lot of people who all of a sudden had to start paying $80 a month to park.
Yeah, that's not fun.
And they were paying for gas to get there. And they were probably... I mean, like my wife said, people were white hot rage. That might be why they hate urban areas so much.
Yeah, that's what pisses them off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's people don't know anything. I actually went to Christmas lights event at the downtown library. And on the Facebook event, there were three people that said, well, hope you're packing heat if you're going to there.
Oh, to a library?
Yeah. Where all the shit goes down.
Yeah. Man. Oh, man. Every time you turn on the news, somebody's doing something at the library.
The Deuce gang hangs out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's like somebody that thinks of that never comes downtown. That's someone that just lives in a little post outside of town on the suburbs around the freeway like right off the exit and just doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah They got a Chipotle, they got a Subway,
right?
They got a McDonald's, a Wendy's, a Burger King, and a Piata,
a
Kroger marketplace, a Giant Eagle, maybe
a Myers.
Yep. What else they got over there? They got rid of a lot of the Quiznos, but they do have one Sprint, one Verizon, and one T-Mobile store.
Yeah. A fucking TJ Maxx and a Home Goods, man.
Yeah. Either or.
Yeah.
You know, They have all that stuff, man. It's all there for you. Bibby Bop now. Bibby Bop is in every neighborhood now.
And you just go there, and then you just complain that downtown is full of non-white people, basically. Is what that is, about.
What, is what drives them crazy. You boys kiss boys downtown.
That is the fear of the fucking assholes. It's obnoxious, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the local news commenters are always the worst. There just has to be a way. I want a civil war in some way where I can just get, like, we have to separate. I just don't want to be involved with them.
Why can't they let us? I mean, like, if you're willing to post something racist on a local news story, I should get a chance to talk to you at least. Yeah. Like, why don't you come over here and talk to me? Slide into my DMs. Let's have a talk here. I swear I can always talk to these people. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes right. They're, you know, immovable. But I can usually talk people down. I'm pretty good at it.
You demand an audience with them? Like, yeah. You go to their house and bring them?
I could get them a good way towards communism. I mean, I'd get them started at least. I could probably get them to socialism fairly quickly.
Of course.
That's what I'll do. I'll just go get jobs and get everybody hooked on socialism.
Yeah, it solves a lot of problems.
All right, man.
Think of all of our rich children out there that can't sell lemonade.
Oh, fuck.
How do they don't know anything about the business spirit? They don't know anything about market. They don't know about hard work, determination, or any of that stuff.
What do they even need the money for? What don't they have that they want? That's the thing with me is it's like, man, once I have everything I want, if I had like $1 billion, I would have been the worst rich kid. Like, just maybe we're all lucky. I wasn't a rich kid because I would be like Ivanka.
A monster.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I'd be one of those like guys that's doing cocaine and driving a Ferrari with like a Saudi prince in it and stuff.
Yeah. Snowboarding and all the most exotic locations.
Yeah, I'd have like a posse, like I'd have like an entourage of people, like six people around me.
Yeah, you'd be in Ibiza and shit.
Ibiza sounds like, I know it's probably a beautiful place. It sounds like an absolute nightmare to me. Like, I don't even want to visit
that
there.
Song?
Yeah, and everything I've ever seen from there is like just.
It was the hot shit, man, on E, right? In the late 90s.
Yeah, I used to watch
that show
so much about Ibiza and be like, "That's I don't think that's where I belong. I don't think that's my place. I need a." First of all, like, I don't think I could ever live anywhere with like truly good weather. I don't think I'd
You don't
like
have to
that.
Live there. You just visit and take a pill.
No.
In Ibiza.
I mean,
to say Ibiza the same way I like to say Italian.
And Iraq.
And Iraq. Yeah, it ain't none of that. No fake ass Spanish accent for me. It's Ibiza.
And you only refer to him as Saddam Insane.
Most definitely. There's rules to this shit, okay?
That's my grammar rule.
Yeah.
Any guy that does that is amazing. I heard somebody like reminiscing about Baghdad Bob the other day. Remember that guy?
No.
Like, it was during the shock and awe. Well, they were killing people. This guy kept going on Iraqi TV and saying, everything is okay. And then like just conservative radio grabbed on. That's when I was listening to a lot of Glenn Beck. Like, unironically,
right,
and they really grabbed onto him. Like, they were making like parody songs about him and stuff like
that. About everything being okay.
Yeah, but because everything was bad because they were killing people.
That's awful. I don't know Baghdad Bob. No.
Well, listeners will know.
Look him up.
So, I guess I think our next show on the feed is going to be the Make Black Friday Red. Right.
Yeah, that's coming up. We'll try to give you a week in between. So yeah, this one is kind of in the middle. It breaks up. You just heard us do the Black Friday or just do the Thanksgiving Eve discovery of the camper. That was your last show before this one. And after this, you're going to get the live show audio. But before that, that's when you can see us the actual video.
We are video people. We made a video of this show, and you get a lot out of seeing how gracefully I move.
Yeah, we plan to keep this going. I mean, that's really the street fight plan here with the Patreon and everything, is if you donate $5 a month, we're going to give you an hour-long video, comedy shit that you haven't seen anywhere else that's completely exclusive to all of you that pay to be a part of it, to see the live show. You know, as mentioned, we are taking it on the road next year. But in December, we're just going to give you a holiday special. So it doesn't matter how you get it. You will be getting some sort of like good ass, like underground independent comedy.
Yeah. Hey, and for all you longtime people that have listened forever, that have been there, this video next month in December is going to have a Because You're Not Working and an Anarchist Cookbook all in the same 1 hour.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Those are big. Those are cool, man. We haven't done those characters, those videos in a long time. We loved doing them, but we just don't have time. But
we're getting it.
As it's we get around. More money, we get more time, and we get to do more stuff.
Yeah, so vimeo.streetfightradio.com will take you directly to the Make Black Friday Red video when it's available. You can always, of course, watch the Halloween video from the month before, and then the Chapo DNC video is there as well. We split all the proceeds with everybody. So.
That's like a Netflix.
I know.
For good comedy.
Exactly. The Dirtbag Left in full HD.
Yeah, that is you get to see the history of this thing. Like, you'll have a visual history. You can invite all of your friends over and sit down and watch whatever the latest. Like I said, we got a holiday special. Yeah, it will come before Christmas. It will get here. You won't be. It's not some December 26th shit. You're not. It's not going to be outdated. And also, top 10 memes of the year. You're only going to get it on that video, Brett.
That's true. So we're already in promo mode. Make Black Friday Red is happened. Holiday video next, and even more in the future. So if you want to support what we do, go to patreon.com/streetfightradio. That will give you the opportunity to subscribe, support us. And the thing about it is, if you don't, you can still get everything. I mean, absolutely free. We put out the show 2 times a week, and you get the audio of our live shows. So you're not missing out on anything.
Yeah. You'll get video. I really, like, you'll love it. The videos are good. They just cost money to make. That's why we have to ask for money for them.
So we will see you next week. As always, I'm Brett Payne, BRETTPAIN, on Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram. He's at Murder Brian, MURDERBRYAN, on Twitter.
Like Mickey Mouse.
MURDERBRYAN, Murder Brian. You can find Street Fight on Snapchat. You can find Street Fight on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. We are at Street Fight WCRS.
All right.
Peace.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just
thank you.